There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you for tuning to the podcast once again for this Friday edition of the podcast. We certainly appreciate all of you that tune in and listen. And so we're looking for the Lord to help us in these weeks to come. We'd like to finish up the Psalms in the next 2 weeks. And if the Lord will let us do that, and then we're going to just change gears and try to find new direction, what the Lord would have us to do. I do hope, I do pray that you would pray for us about that. But the Lord would give us direction, very clear understanding of what we need to do next on the podcast. And so I want to go through Scripture. I still want to be doctrinal. I want to be a doctrinal devotional. But just pray the Lord to give us wisdom in that. And I would like to give a good report from the meetings up north. I know we've had folks that said the Lord helped them. We've had numerous folks contact us over the last 12, 13 days that said God helped them and strengthened them. They found repentance in some areas in their coldness, their deadness, their lack of a walk with God. We also had some folks come to us, asked to pray for them and their families, and our families have fallen apart. And we're having trouble. There's two distinct people I know came to us and said, pray for our family. We're having some very serious troubles. And so we just pray for those families. If you would, you don't have to know who they are, but pray that God would give them relief, that God would show them themselves, that they would see themselves before a holy God. It's the only way a man's going to find repentance is when he sees himself in light of Jesus Christ. And then later on in the month, we got a couple of weekends that we'll be preaching, and then a week down in Saltillo, Pennsylvania. And so we're looking forward to that. We'll speak much more about that in the near future. And Psalm 145, now this, I believe, is the fulfillment of David in Psalm 144 and verse 9, when he said, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Now, David had told the sons of Asaph and Asaph that they would also prophesy in song. And so David's going to give a new song here. David is going to play this song. But then in Psalm 145, it says, David's psalm of praise. I will praise thee. I will sing praises unto thee. So this is David's psalm of praise. And God put it in order for us. And we have that understanding according to Scripture. This is the psalm that David sang that he wrote about. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now, again, do we exalt the name of God? Yes, we do. What does that mean? It means we put him in his rightful place. To exalt someone is to put their name in a rightful place. And to extol them is to put them in the highest place. There is none extolled higher. There is only one potentate, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the highest of all. And we extol him in that place. There is none that compares to him. And so we extol him, and that's what he said. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. To the saint of God today is the name of Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name. And the name of Jesus Christ ought to be precious to us today as we extol him and bless his name. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. This is a song of praise. His name is to be praised. How do we praise him today? What can I say? It's not manifest in foolishness. It's not manifest in clamor. It's manifest today through song. It's manifest by word. It's manifest in prayer. It's manifest in a secret time with God. Praise is audible. Praise is verbal. Praise is loud. And that is for our folks up north as well. Praise is something. It doesn't have to be a manifestation of overexcitement or overzealous or even zealous, but it's just to praise his name. A praise can be stated loudly. A song can be sung loudly. We praise him. Why do we praise him? He's worthy of our praise. He is the Most High God. And he goes on and says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. And so if he's great, then he ought to be greatly praised. And I realize David danced and And folks like to use that today for some kind of sensual perversion, because the majority of dancing that's done today is not done before the Lord. It's done before man, and especially a woman dancing in the aisles. Most men seem to favor that, and therefore it just becomes perverse. It becomes sensual. It's not true praise. But the problem with people today is they don't praise in secret, and they don't extol the name of Jesus Christ in secret. They don't go in that secret place and praise him and laud him and adore him and worship him. And therefore, when they go into public and do it, it's manifest they don't do it in secret, because it's just a show of the flesh. And it's manifest in outpourings of runnings and screamings and hollerings and overzealousness. And again, if God's in that, so be it. God's in that. But the reality is most of that is made manifest because there's people around, there's people watching, or they're overcome with emotion. They don't know what to do with emotion. And to be honest, I'm one of a few preachers that don't have a problem with that. You're overcome with emotion, let the emotion out. But then once the emotion's out, get a grip on things and find out where you stand with God. I'm one, I'll give people relief at the altar from their emotion. There's times people need a relief from their emotions. They're overcome with joy or laughter or tears and anger, whatever the case is. I've never seen anybody really angry at the altar, but I guess if you're overcome with emotion, go to the altar, bang on the altar, yell and scream at the altar, and get it out of your system. But the reality is, where do you stand with God? When everything's settled, what is your praise? What is your praise offering to him? He's great. He's greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. But what is your motive behind praise? Show of the flesh, manifest in an outpouring of you? Or is it just a show to God that you're willing to praise him, that you're lifting up his name, that you're willing to lift up those holy hands without wrath or doubt and say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Again, each man has to stand and give an account of himself to God. I wouldn't criticize a man one way or the other. David danced before the Lord, and that's just used again as an excuse for carnality, that men can today find a reason to dance because they love happy feet and so as you dance before the Lord, do it in secret. You don't have to do it in a public platform. You don't have to do it in front of a crowd of people. Go do it in secret. And if you really got some dance moves you really want to show off, go show them off to the Lord. See how your fellowship with him is. Praise today is those two ends of the spectrum, and right in the middle, I think, is biblical praise. And if you don't do it in secret, don't do it publicly. And don't be a show of the flesh. I've said that for many, many years. That's one of the greatest ways to balance it out. When you praise him in secret, I've learned a lot of times, your public praise, it'll be manifest that you've praised him in secret. Because when you come publicly, you'll be careful in not being a show of the flesh, not trying to magnify yourself and not drawing attention to yourself, if you've done it secretly. But people don't praise him in secret. They don't go into their prayer closet, shut the door, make petition of him and praise him and laud him and thank him and make supplications unto him. And if you'll do that in secret, the Lord which heareth in secret, he said, rewardeth thee openly. So if you want to learn to praise, learn the old-fashioned way. Go in before God privately and praise him. Go in before the Lord and praise his name and bless his name. You can shout all you want and rejoice all you want and dance all you want and find out if it's pleasing to him. And yet today it's practiced in every other way. And I didn't mean to weigh in on all that. But the problem we have is that most people just don't praise him in secret. They don't have that life of praise. It's not continual. They don't sing those psalms unto him, sing songs unto him. You know, one of the things that I've learned in my life is the Lord wants us to sing unto him, speaking to yourself in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Why is that? Because it pleases the Lord. It's a pleasantness when we praise him with song, no matter how terrible of a singer you are. And if you're really that bad, like I said, praise him in secret. It'll be made manifest. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. And so men will speak of these things, what God has done. Men will speak of the mightiness of God, the great power of God. His greatness will be declared unto a generation. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. And then verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. And I want to thank the Lord that he's slow to anger. I want to bless his name and praise him that he's slow to anger. And I'm not slow to anger, but thank God he is slow to anger. But more than that, he's of great mercy. You see, he's compassionate. He knows we're just dust. And he has compassion on us. And he's merciful to man. He said the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. the goodness of God that leadeth in repentance. The Lord is good to all. He maketh the rain of the just, the unjust to lie. Do you realize that the flocks of wicked men still bring forth young? Do you realize that the cattle of ungodly men still calve? Why? Because God is good to all. And the seasons come to all men. Rain comes to all men. Warmth comes to all men. Shelter comes to all men. The Lord is good to all. It is the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. His tender mercies are over all his works. Why is he good to men? Because of those tender mercies. Why does God lead you to repentance? Because of his tender mercies. That's why he leadeth thee to repentance. His tender mercies are over all. It is the umbrella over his works. It's because of his tender mercies that he's good. And thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. What is it? In praise. When you speak about God's kingdom, and again, so many today, they cannot see the kingdom of God. They see religious structure. They see religious works. They see the works of missions, the works of evangelism, the works of the church. And they see the good in that. They see the pragmatic view. They see that it's better for a family to be in church and dress right and live right. It's better for them. But they cannot see the kingdom of God. They do not see the spiritual. And there are folks that are great organizers. They can plan anything. They can do a beautiful job and plan wondrous things, but they cannot see the kingdom of God. And there are those that they plan great events, and they're tremendous at their works and the work of their hands and the beauty of their hands and the things that they present, the things that they prepare. There are those that sing. They sing beautifully, but they don't see the kingdom of God. There are many that play instruments beautifully, but they cannot see the kingdom of God. And therefore, it's all vainglory. It's all the works of man's hands. They cannot see the kingdom of God. They cannot praise him for his kingdom. He said, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. That's what the work of God is doing. That's what God is trying to do in us even today, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. God wants us to see his kingdom. God wants to see the majesty of his. He said, glorious majesty of his kingdom, but they cannot see the kingdom of God. Why can they not see the kingdom? Because their deeds are evil, because their works are evil, their flesh, they're carnal, they're not spiritual. And so they cannot see the kingdom of God. Therefore, they cannot boast of his glorious majesty. They cannot make their boast in the Lord. They cannot extol his name. They cannot praise his name. They cannot exalt his name. They cannot see that the Lord is over all and his wonderful works are for his kingdom. They cannot see that. Why would God lead you to repentance? Because his mercy, like an umbrella over you, God's works were good to you. God was good to you. And you came to repentance because of his tender mercies. And then you ought to boast of his kingdom. You ought to speak of his kingdom. You ought to speak of the wonderful things that God has done, that other men might enter into the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. That's the dominion of the kingdom of God. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. And again, that word all, the Lord is good to all. His mercies are of all his works. He raised up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. And again, all, the ungodly, the wicked, the unjust, the righteous, the self-righteous, the indifferent. His works are good to all. His mercy is upon all. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's the goodness of God. That's what leadeth into repentance. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. The basics that you desire, shelter, clothing, food, that food and raiment to be with content. He'll provide that for every living thing. He'll do that for the cattle of the field. He'll do that for the lilies of the field. The Word of God told us that. Yes, Solomon, all his glory was not, all his splendor, rather, was not arrayed as fine as one of these. And so God will do that for the lily of the field. How much more will God do that for you? The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. God is never unjust. God has never done you wrong. God has never been wrong to you. If there's bad in your life, it's because of your works. If there's bad in your life, it's because you've been unjust with God. If it's bad in your life, examine yourself whether you've been in the faith. It is sin in your life. If there's awful things come into your life, you better look. And people say, well, I haven't done anything. Well, you're still flesh. and in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. God is just in all his ways. God is just in all his doings. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. And the word of God said he's holy in all his works. Men indict God with unrighteousness. Men indict God with wrongdoing. Yet he's holy in all his works. Everything God does is holy. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. And people say, where does Romans 10:13 come into that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The house they call upon him in whom they have not believed. Why can't they trust God? They don't believe in God. Who are they calling upon? They're calling upon a vague God. They're calling upon the name of God they don't believe in. They're asking someone they don't believe in to do wonders for them. They're asking someone that they don't have faith in to do wonders for them. And yet he's willing to do those wonders, but not without repentance. Why? Because his goodness has brought you to that place. Just the good things that God does, the good things that God has shown you, that the Lord doeth good to all men. Why? Because the Lord is good. It's his very goodness that leadeth thee to repentance. It's the very character of God, the nature of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Yet, why won't men repent? Why will they not turn? Why are they not done with their own ways? Why are they not done with, if the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, that word nigh means nothing between. He says, to all that call upon him in truth, there's the problem. Men don't want to come to him in truth. They don't want to come to him with a clean heart. They don't want to come to him and purge themselves. They have secrets. They have double lives. They have things buried. They don't want them exposed. Therefore, they won't call upon God in truth. And if they did call upon God in truth, absolutely God would work a wonder in their life. If they would come to the truth, as Jesus Christ is the truth, he would do marvelous works for them. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. So he says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked shall he destroy. Why is God going to destroy the wicked? Because they do not love him. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Because he loves his own ways. He will not acknowledge the work of God. He looks at the works of his hands and thinks that he did that. Doesn't realize it was God that gave him power to do that. It was God that gave him strength to do that. He looks at the labor that he's created and the things that he's made and doesn't realize it's God that gave him those abilities. And he wants the credit for all of it. Men think they're greater than what they are. They think they're far higher than what they are. Why? Because they will not extol the name of God. They extol their own name. Why are people lost in churches? Because they do not believe the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Why don't they believe his name? Because there's that little bit of hope in them that what they're doing is right, that what they're doing is good, that what they're holding on to is the right way, and it's not of God, and they cannot see the kingdom of God. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. I had a dear friend of mine, and he was a praising man. He was a shouting man. And many times somebody would say of him, well, he's just shouting in the flesh. And I said, well, the Bible commands him to. Let all flesh praise his name forever and forever. You don't shout in your spirit, you shout in the flesh. You shout and you rejoice in the flesh. You praise him with your flesh. So what does that mean? You got to die to yourself to praise him. You got to die to yourself to extol his name. You got to die to yourself to lift up his name. I've never had an out-of-body experience and rejoiced in the Lord. It's always been in my flesh. I've had to die to my flesh and just go ahead and praise him. And like the old preacher man that I've known for many, many years says, and he says, when you don't feel like praising, praise him. And when you don't want to praise him. When you're miserable, praise him. When you're unhappy, praise him. And when everything's going wrong, praise him. And they said in the good times, also praise him. When things are going right, praise him. Why, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Extol his name. Praise his name. Hey, work on your praise. Practice your praise. Again, where do you practice praise? In the secret place. And God will make it manifest. And so practice in your secret. How do you start? How about a big thank you? How about just a thank you, Lord? How about a thank you for what you've done? Thank you, how good you've been. Thankful for my life. Thankful for my home. Thankful for my family. Just start there and see what God will do. Have a great weekend. Praise the Lord this weekend.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website, and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption calleth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.